diem. Seize the day. Ever since I can remember, my father has asked me the age-old question. What's not fair? We always responded with life. He taught us that the hardest thing to go through in the world is life. That always raised the question, what is the meaning of life? I set out to answer that very question.
To you, what's the meaning of life?
To me, the meaning of life is working toward your passion.
The meaning of life is purpose.
Whatever the gift that God has given you.
During spring break, my family and I took a trip to New Zealand, more specifically Castle Hill, for my father's 50th birthday. He mentioned that the same place where the Chronicles of Narnia were filmed was described as the spiritual center of the universe by the Dalai Lama. It wasn't until I witnessed this very sight that I fully understood what he meant. The formation of rocks in elegant patterns across millions of years. I embraced the art, and finally, it clicked. Just as the earth expresses its beauty, so do we as people. To me, the meaning of life is to explore your creativity, exhibit your freedom, and pursue your passion. What is your passion? I first came across the term carpe diem while watching Dead Poets Society. I fell in love with the idea of poetry as a form of expression. Music, science, math, anything and everything. And the movie about boys expressing their freedom and creativity, jettisoned by their teacher, Robin Williams, the catalyst of creativity, says,
that you are here. That life exists. That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. The powerful play goes on, and you may contribute a verse. What will your verse be?
What is an unachievable dream you have?
An unachievable dream? Probably.
Golly, that's a tough one.
I've always wanted to play a professional sport, and running at the highest level.
I used to want to be a flight attendant.
Seems pretty unlikely.
Despite such hope, dreams aren't reality until you act upon them. As a high school student, my understanding doesn't go past this explanation. I hope to one day have a life like my grandfather, Papa. Not only did he raise a family with a beautiful wife, but his passion has always been mine, math. However, he was never able to pursue his passion due to family issues, moving to Biloxi, Mississippi from Cambridge, and his abusive father. So, to answer this very question of life, fate, and destiny, I set out for Bapa and his 70 years of wisdom. Before we get into the interview, I need to preface this. Over the past couple years, Bapa has developed some memory issues. My mother puts it best.
Okay, so Bapa, Chip Donovan, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's about a year ago, and it is probably moderate stage, which means he does need some assistance, which is why he's moving here to Houston so that we can help him out more. But it's not severe yet enough to live in an assisted living home.
But she's always believed that Papa was a kind, smart, and wonderful father to three children.
He was actually really strict. He was very encouraging, but he definitely made you work hard. When we were kids, every Saturday morning, from the time I was little enough to hold a rake or a bag open to bag leaves, we would get up every Saturday morning, and then the whole family was required to do yard work and help out around the house.
As a father, mathematician turned lawyer, and a former Cambridge resident, Bapa has lived quite the life, from almost getting drafted for the Vietnam War to graduating from Old Miss while hustling drunks in a ball pool at bars. Bapa has all the answers for a curious mind, even for questions of morality. But before asking the big question, let's get an idea of what kind of person Bapa was when he was young.
Tell me what it was like growing up in Biloxi.
You know, I think it was good. It was kind of atypical for me because my dad had died when I was only 4 years old when we were living in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which is where his family was from, and where he took my mother, whom he had married, from Biloxi, and my sister Eileen, who was born while he was in the war. But beyond that and some other things, I think it was, it was a good place to be. I mean, most of the people there were easygoing, nice people. You could trust what they told you. And I think that's an important thing in relationships with people. And I think it was good that I was able to go to Catholic school. My mother was such a great person and a smart person that anything that may have been difficult for me, she usually had a way of helping me get squared away on it. And I think that that's right. It's really good. And I was lucky that I had such a great mother who was a smart woman and fair-minded. So I enjoyed, taking my Peebo out into the back bay. And, I had a paper route and got to do that and keep the money that I earned doing that, for my own, whatever I might want to spend it on, within reason. It was not a bad place to grow up. I mean, when I got out of high school, I was able to go to college, and I went far enough away that I wasn't home that often. But at the same time, I stayed in touch, with people. My grandparents were there, and they were very nice people as well. And so, I'd have to give Biloxi a pat on the back for giving me a good place that I enjoyed and utilized to benefit.
That upbringing is similar to many people I know at St. Thomas. Tell me about the time you almost got drafted.
When I was, got to be the age where you have to apply to join the federal government, had a list of everybody, and the fact that my dad had died from injuries received during the war, given a kind of a waiver, not quite a waiver, but my responsibility to go into the military was reduced because I was the sole and only son of this man who had died for the country.
After the death of his father, Bapa's mother remarried an abusive father, whom Bapa spent as much time as possible away from, leading to his passion for being a good person.
When you were young, what was your passion?
I think my passion was to be as good as I could be and to be helpful to other people and for them to see me as the person who was fair and would be, would find me to be a reasonable person to have a relationship with or, things like that. So my passion was to be accepted by others and for them to realize that I was like a good student and I told the truth when you asked me a question and that I would help people that needed help and I enjoyed the fact that I developed that reputation, and I think that it's good when you try to make to better yourself, but at the same time to work with others.
There's no doubt that you had some dreams and aspirations when you were young. My question is, what did you do to achieve those dreams?
I was lucky in a lot of different ways. And I was, like you, I was very gifted in mathematics. And I felt, you know, lucky that I was able to manage that kind of work as I was able to. And I was also lucky to have achieved a good relationship with the teachers in my law school who, you know, that accepted me as a very good student. As a matter of fact, they going back to the math, you know, I think I showed you one day the thing that they gave to me. It was in a, that said that I was going to be in this particular, organization or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, that was nice. When I was in law school, I was given a lot of important things to do, including one of the times that we had one of the Supreme Court justices coming down from Washington, D.C., and I was the person sent to the airport to pick him up and bring him back to the campus. And, you know, that's an honor. It's good if you can achieve those things. And it's it makes me feel, you know, like they must have seen something good in me or they wouldn't have done that. And I think as far as other things, I have to give a lot of credit to your grandmother,
mm-hmm.
my wife, you know, who was really good and knowledgeable about things in areas that I was.
This dream and feeling of belonging, along with his passion, led to him meeting Big Alice.
In my last, well, when I was just about in my last part of my legal training, and I went to, from Biloxi to see Eileen, my sister, who at that time was working at MD Anderson, and I went up, you know, just to visit with her for a little bit, and she suggested that I could probably get a job working in Houston if I wanted to, because they have a lot of construction going on back then. And so I had joined the union a couple of years before, because I had a job where you had to be in the union in Biloxi. And so I met Alice when I was invited to go to some the part of the apartments where we lived. These guys asked me if I wanted to play football with them, because the rain had been so bad, nobody could go to work. And so I said, sure. But as it turned out, they changed their minds and decided they wanted to just cook breakfast and have some of the neighbors over. But they did invite me to go over there also, because they were going to feed people. And they were football players University of Texas. And so all of that was really interesting to me. And while I was there, while they were doing, you know, setting up tables and all this other stuff, I noticed that they had a National Geographic magazine, and I was, you know, I wanted to look at that, which I did. And then when and they invited Alice and some other people over, but Alice was in there, and I looked at her, and it turned out that we ended up visiting a little bit with us, you know, but not a whole lot of time because I had some things I had to do. But in any event, when I had to go to work for half of the day, because the water was still, you know, so bad around the area where these apartments were located. And so when I came back from that, I was going to the kind of the area below, I mean, in the, you know, not too far from my area of the apartments. And I noticed that Alice and a friend of hers were paddling a canoe, which they had blown up, that apparently belonged to Alice, and they were bringing their canoe around to different parts of where the water was still in place, and that was you know, that she came in when she saw me there, and we talked a little bit, and then we went outside because it was kind of noisy in that place, and she put up her you know, her stuff that she was using to paddle around, and we ended up meeting with one of my friends who was a because I played bridge with him, and he always wanted to be as his partner when we did play. And so we visited with him that day, and he told us as we were leaving, so I could walk her back to her apartment, he said, "I think y'all are going to get married." And I just don't know where that came from. I don't know what prompted him to say it, but in fact, that's what occurred. It was a year later then, but it's still, I always think of that as golly. Mm-hmm. And he was Canadian.
Love works in weird ways. From meeting the love of his life in a flood to getting told he would marry the love of his life from a Canadian of all people.
So this is kind of a big question, and it's really loaded. So you don't have to go super in depth, but to you, what is the meaning of life?
Okay. I think that for different people, there are likely to be very different ways of looking at life. Mm-hmm. You know, some people like to do things and they make mistakes, but they don't care. And so they don't get a good reputation. That hurts their life, I think. And I think it's important for people to try to be accurate with a lot of things and to be honest about a lot of things, to say, I want my life to be like this. It's not going to happen automatically, but it can happen if you work hard to help achieving the things that you consider are important for you and your family and your life.
So there you have it. While the meaning differs from person to person, the general idea remains. Seize the day, the opportunity, the chances given to each of us daily. Life is hard, but with just a smile, a good character, and the mindset of doing good for others will change not only your perspective of life, but others as well. This is what led to Bapa meeting his wife, the birth of his kids, Alyssa, Shannon, and John, and the pursuit of his passion to be a good person, one day at a time, has left a lasting impression on both myself and my cousin, who's graduating from high school this May. Jack Farrell, University of Texas commit, graduating class of 2025, continues to call Bappa every Sunday to check up and have a genuine conversation. Both Bappa and Jack are examples of how I wish to live my life, as a kind person, not just a kid who goes to high school or a runner, but a genuine human being. So, as far as my passion goes, my dream in general is an aspiration to be just like them. But everyone is unique, and that is the meaning of life. To work towards a goal, perfect it, and in times of shortcoming, accept it, whether defeat or success, with grace and dignity, as a good human being would, as Jesus would, as Jack Farrell would, as Bappa would. A special thanks to Miss Mundell, Bryce Farrell, Mr. Green, my mother, and Chip Donovan for helping make this podcast. And to you, thank you for listening.